الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We are in the auspicious month of Zulqa'dah. Today is the sixth, has started already. 6 days, 5 days have gone. We are in the sixth day. And this is the 3 months of Ashhur-e-Hurum, which come consecutively together with one another. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. Three very great months. And the month of Rajab, that comes before Shaban, that has passed. That's one. The 4 months are the sacred months. Very great months. Let us become conscious, inshallah, make other people conscious of what a great and honorable period we are in. These are those months when the rewards of all good deeds are multiplied very greatly. And whatever good deeds we can do, tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, durood sharif, nafal namaz, whatever, the rewards of them are multiplied very, very greatly. And perhaps more important than that, what we should take note of, that during these months, gunas are also multiplied very much. So we should stay away from all gunas. The cell phone, which we are so prone to, so that we should totally all gunas of the eyes, etc. And it is mentioned that a person makes a guna in these months, these 3 months now, which are 90 days more or less. It is like a person making guna in a state of a haram, that he's got a haram on, and in the haram. Not only that, perhaps you put your haram on out of the miqat, but when you are in the haram, you are committing guna. How big isn't that guna? So we should be very, very careful. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then also, during these months, the rozas of Thursday, Friday and Saturday, which are 3 months, about 12 weeks more or less, we have the opportunity. A person who keeps rozas Thursday, Friday and Saturday, he gets the sawab of 700 years of ibadat. So what an opportunity. We can see how Allah is magnifying the rewards. And when if a person is going for Hajj and is there and he keeps rozas there, if he can manage, if it is suitable for him, how great won't that reward be? So the rewards are very great. Imam Abu Bakr Jassas, rahmatullah alayhi, very great authority and mufassir of the Quran in Ahkamul Quran, writes that whatever good habit a person does regularly, has istiqamat on, during these months that will remain with him for the rest of the year, for the rest of his life also. And many of us that we want certain good qualities. Like I would like to make my namazes with Takbir-e-Ula. But I fall short. I always get caught up here, there. During this month, make the particular effort. And then it will remain for us for life. It will become easy then. So this is like a training period. Just do it properly. Many of us, my tilawat, my Yasin Sharif. I start reading, I fall asleep, and I don't read, complete my Yasin. How much I want to read Quran Sharif, my one supara, three suparas, but then also get caught up in other things. Then during this period, just do it regularly. And then Allah will make it a easy part of our life, not second nature. Allah will make it our nature. And then it will be easy. And the rewards also are so great. So these are very valuable months that we have now, this month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah and Muharram. And almost a week is gone already. So let us not be slack. And then of course as the months per this time proceeds, what great occasions come. This is the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, which is a great month. Then comes Dhul-Hijjah, Allahu Akbar. The 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And those people who are going for Hajj, how fortunate are they not? The whole Ummah is so fortunate. What a wonderful occasion Allah Ta'ala gave us. Then the month of Muharram comes again. So Allah gives us tawfiq to take the lessons also. And the build up to this also was so great and auspicious. That is the month of Ramadan. And the build up to Ramadan was also so great. That Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. The month of Rajab also. Allah let us observe all these great occasions properly. And then we'll see what the month of Ramadan is. So Rajab, with the Mi'raj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our namazes come in order. One aspect of namaz, Bismillah. One major part of namaz is sajda. Al-aqrab ma yakun al-abdu min rabbihi wa huwa sajid. O kama qal alayhi salatu wasalam. The most closest a person is to Allah Ta'ala is when he's in a state of sajda. There is difference of opinion. There is great value for the qiyam, for standing also. Where this qiyam is more valuable or sajda is more valuable. Anyway, sajda is that ibadah when a person, no matter who he is, if he makes sajda, makes namaz, he can be the greatest alim, the greatest mufassir, he can be the greatest scientist, lawyer, politician, whoever, the richest man, all put their head right down in front of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah loves that the most. And sajda, Allah give us also the tawfiq to make effort on our namaz. Not just that the outward namaz, that also we lack tremendously. Just the outward postures of ours, and that also we are speaking of those who are making namaz. Those who are not making namaz, we find like for example on Eid's day, a substantial amount of people who come for Eid, there's only two namazes in the year they make. And they don't come really for as an ibadah, just that to keep us, we are in the register of the Muslims, that we are also there. And they are the ones who come like Jummah also, those who only come for Jummah, the last to come. And the first to go again, just to register our name, we were there for Jummah. We are not out of the register of the Muslims. And they are not, you give a bayan, they are not listening. Their mind is somewhere else. They are not interested in all that. What you are saying, all that, they got nothing to do with. Just that we came, and the salam is not finished, the second salam, and they are gone again. So our outward postures, I'm not talking of those people, we who make namaz regularly, and we regard ourselves, and people regard us as namazis, but our outer postures are very deplorable. Ours. So for example, sajda, Allah give us tawfiq to make effort on the whole of namaz. Sajda, and you go to the lowest position. And sajda is that position that we have been likened, then like all the animals, reptiles, that go on the ground, like snakes, etc. right down we are. And we took our head, which was the highest, and we put it right down in front of Allah, that I am nothing. And the tasbih of sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allah, you are the greatest, you are the highest. And you never go low, you are high. And I am the lowest. And the more we get the reality of sajda, Man tawaza'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. A person who humbles himself for Allah, Allah raises that person. So humbling ourselves, we can't go more lower than the ground. Perhaps our carpets are very soft, and you have to press your head to feel the hardness of the ground. But we can't go lower physically, but mentally, spiritually, that, oh Allah, I am the worst of all. Make muraqabah, oh Allah, you are Pak, I am Napak. And you are the one, not only Pak, but you make the Napak Pak. You are Pak yourself also, you are pure, and you make the Napak also Pak. And I've come to you, O Allah. You purify me, O Allah. All our wrong thoughts that we have, all wasawis that we have, O Allah, you remove all that also. Our wrong ideas that we have got about our deen, about Allah Ta'ala, if we have got wrong ideas about Akhirat. Some people feel that there is no reality in Akhirat. It is just like a imagination or something. Well, Iyazu Billah. All that, O Allah, you remove all that. And I am the lowest of all. And if we can, we make that muraqabah also. Hal mein, presently, tamam musalmanu mein, main sabse battar aur kamtar ho, I am the worst. Aur maal ke atibar se, tamam janwaro aur kafiro mein, main sabse battar aur kamtar ho. That I am the worst as far as mort is concerned, worse than all animals and kafirs also. That the animals know Jahannam for them. Just their little what wrong they did, zulam, they will be punished and then they will be turned into dust. That's the end. And the kafir, they will go to Jahannam. But there are so many kafirs, right at the last moment they accept Islam. And nobody has given us guarantee that we're going to die with Islam. So we have to, the more lower a person thinks of himself, he becomes higher by Allah. And the more our sajda gains value, every sajda we go higher and higher by Allah Ta'ala. So the whole of namaz is such, every namaz should take us closer to Allah. And every namaz, we should be improving on our namaz. Right from the outward postures of namaz to the inside value of namaz. If we are not doing that, then we should think, I'm not making namaz. Because that should be happening. We should be going closer and our namaz quality should be improving. So namaz is a very great ibadat Allah Ta'ala has given us. So the month of Rajab came and we were given this great gift of the Miraj of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and that also to build our yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala. That the Miraj outwardly is an impossible thing. It's only by the great absolute qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. And that we build our iman, for Allah there is nothing impossible. What is impossible is the easiest for Allah. For the whole world what is impossible, for Allah it is the easiest thing. Allah can change any and everything. Allah is that great being. Then the month of Sha'ban, that the Tawbah and Istighfar, Laylatul Bara'a, the night of salvation, the night of purification, Allah blessed us. And this was the build-up for Ramadan. And then Ramadan again, what a great month. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes that about in 82 ayats ulama have written, Allah has mentioned namaz and zakat together. Aqimu salah wa atu zakah. In about 82 ayats. So Hazrat Maulana says, there is a great, great connection between namaz and zakat. In one hadith, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam says, a person who doesn't pay his zakat, his namaz is not also accepted. So there is a great connection between zakat and namaz. So namaz was the thing that our connection with Allah. And that is really what we should strive for. And to see whether we are making namazes. See how much our connection with Allah is increasing. how much we are coming closer to Allah Ta'ala. And that we can also gauge on another aspect, that all of us face challenges. There are always things that we have to attend to, sort out, matters that come to us, everyone, little children also. Everyone is worried. My grandson, by Shaheen's grandson also, he was looking sad when he was there, so his nani asked him, what's wrong? He said that my parents are going to sort me out. What he thought that, they're going to slaughter me. That now Qurbani is coming, they're going to slaughter me. So he was worried that they're going to slaughter him. Small boy, about 2 years, so he's worried about that. So anyway, so he also got a worry on his head. Every one of us. So when we have this worries, let us see that what we do, the way of the kuffar and the animals, is that akal ki ghore dorate hai. They let the horses of their brains run. They make their brains work overtime, thinking, now there is a problem. What must we do here? How to sort this out? Get help from here. Legal problem, immediately our mind goes to lawyers. A financial problem to the bank manager, or to some friend, an uncle, or anyone else. Or medical problem, doctors, rushing to the hospital. Get the doctor immediately. Our brains go in that direction. And the same way, animals' brains also work. That whatever has happened, that according to their small thinking, that how to sort it out. So that is their way. Contrast to that, a mu'min's way, Allah give us tawfiq. Whatever happens, look up to Allah Ta'ala. Our Shaykh explained this so beautifully that we all must have noticed it. Small little children were still in the arms of their parents, whether it's on the woman's side or the man's side. You give the little child a sweet or something, the child looks up to its father, to its mother. In other words, must I take it or not? So that should be our condition. Whatever comes, look up to Allah. What must I be doing here now? Not that we use our brains, and our brains are just for this material things and limited to that. But we should immediately, Ya Allah, in this condition, what did Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam do? Like the winds are blowing strong, heavy clouds, thunder, and rain coming down, and ice coming down, all that. What should I do? What did my Nabi do? Our minds will go immediately, close the doors, pull the curtains, etc. Whatever we will think. But what did my Nabi do? And what did the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu? That is where a mu'min's mind will go. And then those who are on the path of the Sahaba and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, our kabir, our slaf, our buzurg, what did they do in this situation? So our mind should work like that. Allah give us tawfiq. But normally our mind just works according to material things. And that is not the mind of a mu'min. That is the mind of a kafir. The mind of an animal, that is. The mind of a mu'min, that will look immediately, use our brains fully to find a solution in the Quran Sharif, a solution in the Hadith Sharif. We will look for it there. We won't look for it outside in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, our namaz we have to build and make that connection. Then Allah brings the great and auspicious month of Ramadan. Now with our salat, if we worked on our salat, the month of Ramadan, namaz then, which normally Allah give us all tawfiq, tahajjud also. Now you enjoy your tahajjud, whether it's your 2 rakats of tahajjud, 8 rakats of tahajjud, but now the reality if it is coming. And then together with that, if we keep our rozas also, in Shaban, the most rozas Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam kept besides Ramadan was in Shaban. So if we kept our rozas, and Ramadan we made rozas, not staying hungry, but ibadat, saum. We made it an ibadat. Our everyday eating, we sit down to eat, one is we are just eating, and we're filling our stomach. But that same time we are taking, the same food we are eating, the same action we are doing, taking the food in our morsel, making a morsel, the same. But just our niyat changes. that Ya Allah, it's your command, kulu washrabu, eat and drink. Then our eating and drinking, what we eat also will be now what Allah has commanded us, and not what we like and what we think is cheap or what is easily available or what is delicious, but what Allah wants. Such a person, automatically, he will cherish the sunnah dishes, whether it is his talbina in breakfast, for example, any other, that my Nabi loved this, he should eat this, I also want to eat the same thing. So he will go in that direction. And if we do everything like that, and there is a lot of detail in that also, that whole eating can become a very great ibadat for us. Very, very great ibadat. Otherwise, it will be just eating like animals eat, like kuffar eat. Our eating will be the same. And everything else also, going to the toilet also, it will be just going to the toilet, the natural thing. You have to relieve yourself. We are not farishtas, we are angels. So we have to go to toilet. But if we do it everything according to sunnah, then that whole, that going to toilet will become a very big ibadah. And that can be enough for our najat and salvation on the day of Qiyamah. If we just do that also correctly. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So Ramadan was that great month that came, and in which we exerted ourselves as much as we could. Everyone tried in his way. So, and with the fasting, another great, great quality of fasting, it purifies you. Namaz makes your connection with Allah. And fasting cleanses you. It takes out the dirt from your ruh. The love of dunya, the filth and dirt, roza is this natural effect of roza, that a person gets purified. So now in the month of Ramadan, and the greatest of all ibadat, which Allah Ta'ala has put the greatest benefit, is in the faraiz. So the farad rozas, which alhamdulillah by and large the whole ummah keeps, but it's just again an effort. And really, what is the tasawwuf? What is islah in going to the khanqa and making our islah from a sheikh and becoming ba'ath? It is that these things come right. Otherwise, namaz is going to put you right. But our namaz must be namaz. Roza is going to put you 100% right. But in the khanqa, all the effort is just to make your roza a roza. To make your namaz a namaz. To make your tilawat tilawat. But these are the things which the whole ummah is doing. But we're doing it haphazardly. We're not fulfilling the rights of it. So we're not getting the benefit of it. So the whole effort of the Khanqa is just that these basic things which all are doing, but they done properly. And then these are the things. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Qad aflaha al mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. And roza, la'allakum tattaqoon. So these two ibadahs which Allah gave us. Now when Ramadan is finished, then Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, writes that people become happy when Ramadan is finished, that it's Eid tomorrow. And I become happy that now the mawsam has started, the season. The season of Hajj now. Now is the time when people all will be making their routes and direction. Oh, everyone's GPS will be now. Hajj, Baytullah, Makkah Sharif, Kaaba Sharif. That is now our direction. That gives me great joy that now the whole world will be going there. And everyone will be gathering there at the great threshold of Allah Ta'ala in Makkah Sharif. They all know the hustle, bustle, the busyness, the build up to the Hajj. And then this whole big crowd, the Ashiqeen of Allah, the lovers of Allah, all going to Mina. And the greatest, the height of it all, Arafat. And the greatest day of the year is the day of Arafat. And the most happiest in all the days which Allah becomes is the day of Arafat. That my bandas, my bandis, man, woman, old, young, sickly, healthy, where and where they have left. And all have come one thing on their tongue. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. It is a thing that moves everyone there. And today with all the live streaming, people who are thousands of miles away, we get moved when you listen to them. That they are all the hajis. And those who are present and in the state of ihram, hey, young girls, old men, every type, big ulama and mashayikh, all in that one dress and all present. And how happy is the day when shaitan becomes the most sorrowful. He says, my whole life's effort I made on this person. He came here to Arafat and all his gunas are forgiven. There Allah Ta'ala forgives. We can't imagine how Allah forgives the people. Everyone is forgiven. For the person the haji makes, he is forgiven, and for whom he makes dua, those people are forgiven. And everyone, every haji who goes, he's got his family in his heart. They are at home, but his family are all in his heart. Then whoever he meets and told them, I'm going for hajj, everyone said, make dua for me. And then he will say, he won't take everyone's name, it's not practically possible. But all who told me to make dua for them, and all their duas, what they got in their hearts, oh Allah, you accept all their duas. And we can be remembered like that there. How lucky we are. Allah give us tawfiq. When the hajis meet us, the least we can say is convey our salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for us. If we don't say that, it's a very poor reflection. That it doesn't cost him, he doesn't have to, not one milligram extra in his weight. It's not going to be any stamped in his passport that you have to make dua for me. Just, and if he doesn't remember you particularly individually, he will make dua for everyone. You'll be included in that. But that also we don't say. And when he makes salam to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, perhaps he can't take everyone's name. But who he remembers, he will take their names. But the others, he will say, all who told me to give salam. And for us to be included in that also, what an honor. That we are taken, our name is taken by Rosa and Mubarak. How fortunate are we not. And our du'as are made for us in Baytullah, in the Haram Sharif. This is what a wonderful occasion. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, says that when people write letters to me when I was in Medina Sharif, and they don't write in the letter that convey our salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'd ask them, haven't you got any connection with your Nabi? You know I go 5 times a day to Rozai Mubarak. And what is it going to cost me to convey your salam? And you don't ask me, haven't you got any connection? Somebody is going to the town where your mother lives, your father lives. And you don't tell them that give salams to my mother. You are going there, just convey my salams to my... Haven't you got connection with your mother? Haven't we got connection with our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So this is the time, anyway now, when the haji goes there, now the great culmination comes, when he'll be making his hajj, he'll be making tawaf. And tawaf also, like one person... which is common, you get bumped from all sides. And when you get bumped, then many people, they take offense to it. So one person who looked with a dirty look at the person who bumped him and perhaps said something also. Somebody asked him, yahan aur kya milenge? Yahan dhakke hi milenge. Yeah, what else you expect? You expect people to treat you like a, open all the path for you and you must go nicely and you make your nod. Yeah, you'll be bumped from all sides. Whether it's an old big man or an old mama, also big built, she's bumped all those small built people who nudge you with their elbows. And that is also very, very disturbing, whoever it is. But that is what you're going to get there. And that is what you must expect there. Don't expect people, they're going to open the path for you. Hazrat, you go here and here. You go, Hajre Aswad is open for you now. And Multazam is open. And Hatim is open. And you're going to make... That is what you're going... That is what Hajj is about. You're going to expect, you're going to get that. So be ready and expect it all the time. And that is what you'll remember afterwards also. That my hajj, how it was, how all the different aspects of the hajj. So Allah Ta'ala has brought, and this now when a person goes for hajj, and he goes the night into Mina, and then to Arafat, then the night of Muzdalifah again, what great opportunities. And all this is that a person now He brings ma'iyat with Allah. Connection, that is the object. That we, if our outward namazes, we corrected them. And the inward namaz, we made effort. Then when you go for this, finally, and this hajj is normally the final ibadat of a person. After your namazes, which you make regularly, rozas you keep every year, your zakat you give, and then hajj comes finally. That is the culmination, the cherry on the top. Now when we did this, now you have connected with Allah. And the great joy you feel at that time. There isn't anything more greater. So by namaz, you clean yourself spiritually. Rozas, and also with namaz, you build your connection with Allah all the time. And you get elevated, and you come close to Allah if you make your namazes as they were supposed to be made. And then with your rozas, you purify yourself, even physically. Roza is the best treatment for all these illnesses, all ailments. Just to keep hungry, to stay away from food is the best. The wise hakims, when they should treat a person for any ailment, they should, the communities with hakim, they will show you parezi, that you must diet, stay away from this, because that food aids that illness of yours, makes your illness more stronger. So they stop the food so that illness of yours can die out, get suppressed and die, and can die out. With the doctors, normally they don't. You can eat what you want to. And they give you some other medicines to make you more sick. That treatment is a really wrong, stupid treatment. But unfortunately, the way it has been put in the world today, that is the treatment. It is far from being that. The Tibia College of Darul Uloom Dioban, which was where they taught students to become hakims, it was forcefully closed down by Indira Gandhi when she was the Prime Minister of India. And she forcefully made them close it down. They don't want any other kind of treatment. The owner of Hamdard, the medicine company of India, Pakistan, Hamdar, in Karachi, he found the cure for cancer. Simple, straightforward. Next, his body was found dead. He was killed. They don't what they won't allow, but their treatment is to cut up people and wear mortuaries in any town with the hospital. Where hospital is Shifa Khana, where you're supposed to get Shifa, cure. But why they have to keep a mortuary? Because they send them all there. They send all the people there. How many people they send? Anyway, so Roza is a great ibadat, even for our physical illness. It is if we keep Roza again. If we kept Roza the whole day and we open it with 10 samosas and deep fried samosas, you have done more harm to your body. If we open it according to sunnah with khajur and water, and that is like many, many medicines the hakims will prescribe, nahar mu. That is the first thing in the morning. Have this year. So the first thing when you make your iftari, khajur and water. And today we are so fortunate. We're getting khajur of Medina Sharif. The best is, the king of fruit is dates, khajur. And the king of all the khajur in the world is the khajur of Medina Sharif. And in there also, there are certain types which are even more special. And they are common today. We're getting it easily here. So if you make iftari on that, and water is a purifier, is a cleanser, is clean itself, it purifies. And we are getting zamzam today. How fortunate, we're far from Makkah Sharif and we are getting zamzam. We are far from Medina Sharif, we're getting khajur. A person makes his iftari on that. And then he makes his maghrib. And he makes his some nawafil also, Allah gives tawfiq of awwabin. Then all that will be having an effect on the body. Then go and have your supper. Still, if you can avoid the deep fries, you do yourself a great favor. And all the rich food, our Ramzan is to increase our food. Only the times are changed. We eat more. As Hakim has explained, from a medical point of view, Roza also is an ideal thing. Because generally the Ummah at large, because we kept Roza, we overeat. Quantity. And also, Sehri time we also overeat. That to protect ourselves or the future? That whole day we're going to be hungry, so eat more. And by iftari we forgot we ate more extra. So now we say that talafi mafat, that I must whole day I never eat, let me eat more. And when we eat quantity also we eat more, and then the richness of the food also, all the savouries, all the desserts, all the extras we eat. If it wasn't for Taraweeh and those who don't make Taraweeh, and you go and sleep on that full stomach, you are doing great, great harm to your health. 20 rakats of Taraweeh extra, 17, make 17 rakats of the Isha. 20 rakats of Taraweeh, and now you go and sleep, that food has been digested. This is not from a dini point of view, from a medical point of view. Roza and Taraweeh, the whole system of Allah, there could be nothing more better. So now when you go after all this procedure, and now when you go for Hajj and you're making your tawaf, and then you are, the ramal you do, and that also is a great lesson there, that when the Sahaba came from Makkah Sharif and traveling all the time, they were tired. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam instructed them to make ramal. And ramal, that you leave your right shoulder open from your ihram, and running at a faster pace you do. That was to show the Quraysh, we are not gone weak. So there is a great lesson in anything. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, whether it is financial problem, health problem, domestic, anything, every person, Muslim and non-Muslim, human beings and animals, plants also, Allah has given everyone that potential to fight it. If you use it, see for example plants, grass, which is nobody puts a fertilizer for grass. Weeds, grass, especially weeds, but where they will grow, in between the pavers, in between from the wall they will come out. They got that determination to exist, and they exist there. You kill them, you put some diesel or anything else also to kill them. After a while you see they back again. That determination, we also got it. That use that determination to save yourself from gunas. You are ill, use that determination and move, you will become better. Use that determination when you have financial problems, domestic problems, and you come out of all that. And when you say, we are weak, I can't help it now, or too much problems now, everything is too heavy, and you go back, you'll go back all the time. You'll never move front. Even in giving up gunas, if you say, I can't help it, environment is such, you'll go more into guna. And you make that determination, you'll come out of it. So from this ramal, we also understand that when they were like really down and out, they were tired. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, they do the ramal now. And in that, and then everything else became easy also. So it's a great lesson for us to learn in our whole life, that never become, lose hope, never become weak, never feel with regard to jinnat also. When we feel that we are too weak, the jinns take advantage of us. Otherwise, jinns are very frightened for us. They don't come near us, but when they see that we just like nothing, we have given up everything, they take advantage. The illnesses take advantage of us. Conditions and halat take advantage of us when we don't be firm. And mu'min comes clearly in the hadith, al-mu'minul qawi khayru min al-mu'minil da'if. A strong mu'min is much better than a weak the mu'min. Wafi kulli khayr. And all have got goodness, but we must be strong. So we learn that, so Allah Ta'ala gives that. And now this connection with Allah Ta'ala is built, and the ma'iyat of Allah, and the love of Allah, and that is the object. Allahu Akbar. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi explained so beautifully also, that what is Jannah is the pleasure of Allah. And what is Jahannam, the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Jannat is the place where Allah will make manifest, will show His pleasure. And Jahannam is the place where Allah will show His displeasure in the form of His azab. But in Jahannam there will be, which comes in the hadith, Abu Dawud Sharif's riwayat, that the little children, that little daughter, in the Arabs that was common, who was buried alive, she and the mother who had her killed, both of them will be in Jahannam. The question comes quite logically, that why the little child, innocent child, what guna did the child do? So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, ulama have given many answers to this. One, the best answer, he says, is the answer that the child will be in Jahannam, but there will be no azab on the child. It will be in Jahannam. And Mawlana says, it's not difficult to understand. There will be those farishtas who will be on duty in Jannah. And Allah is pleased with them. They are doing the work of Allah. There are those farishtas in Jahannam who are also doing the work of Allah. And Allah is pleased with them also. They are in Jahannam, but no azab upon them. Then Mawlana says, it's easy to understand further that a jail, in the jail, there are the people who are jailed. For them is an azab that we have to now suffer 2 years, 10 years, we got imprisonment. And then there are the wardens and the guards who are there. They are smiling and laughing. In fact, how they handle the poor, the people who are in jail, how they handle them. So there is no azab on them. They are in the jail, but there is no azab on them. And then the reason, why did Allah put the little babies also, those who were, who aborted, abortions were done, or in those days when they killed them. The reason for that, Maulana says, that to increase the punishment of the mother when she aborted her child, that this masoom child see the child. Like we also know, we did something wrong, somebody remind us, please don't talk of that again. That's finished, that's close that chapter. Don't talk about, but Allah will keep the child there, no punishment on the child. But the mother will see all the time, and that will increase the punishment, psychological, physical punishment, there will be on the mother. Psychological, my child, I had my child killed, and today abortions which our girls are going through, with the filth and dirt of the universities and the lifestyle we have chosen, the pregnancies in primary schools, in high schools, and everywhere these pregnancies are taking place, whether it's under a staircase, whether it's in the toilets, wherever, and all those terrible. And usually when husband and wife meet, it's the highlight of their marriage when they meet with one another. And just that filthy, dirty way where they just hit and run. No enjoyment in that also. In the haram is haram. And then finally the abortion. And then all the difficulties. And then in Jahannam now she will see, my child, I had it abort. And the Arabs, they used to kill the child. And the worst they used to do, one was you kill your child and a dead child you put in the grave. This is a living child. And the child now just suffers and dies in the grave. A living child they should put. And now you see the child in front of your eyes. That what your punishment will be increased. So in this way, Allah's hikmat, nobody can understand. Nobody can reach where the wisdom of Allah reaches. We will just think offhand that a little child and will find great fault with hadith and with Quran. That why must the little child be put in Jahannam? But see the great system of Allah Ta'ala, how it works. So the thing is, where you find the pleasure of Allah, that is your Jannah. And when you go for Hajj and you prepared from Rajab, your whole life, Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, you made it glorious, magnificent you made it. And then Shawwal, then Dhul-Qa'dah came. And then you went and now you found the Ma'iyat of Allah. When you are in Arafat, when you are making your tawaf, when you are making your du'as in Arafat from Zuhr time, from after Zawal, and now you're engaging till Asr, and you found Allah Ta'ala, and you are talking to Allah Ta'ala, your Jannah is here already. This is Islam which has come, to give us our Jannah, not only there it will be inshallah, here already. But on the other hand also we must fear, if we are not following that Islam which has come to give us this, and deliver to us, and we are following another Islam, then we have got problems here, as we are seeing now. How the people, the confusion they are going. The heart just does not incline to the truth and to the people of truth. The heart inclined to falsehood and people of falsehood. And we want to protect them. Hey, this is all because we haven't got the reality of Islam. We haven't got that Islam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Simple way to understand which the Quran Sharif explains. When the Christians of Najran, Najran was a town in Yemen, and it was the seat of knowledge of the Christians, and the seat of piety, the town that was known for its piety, for its knowledge, and the greatest priest, Abdul Masih, the Amir of them, Abdul Masih, and then his chief advisor, and the greatest priest of the Christians of that time, Abdul Harith, he was accepted as the greatest priest in the whole Christian world. And the kings of the Christian world, they had favored him with great, great gifts. Land, big, big estates of land they had given to him. So he was a very great priest. So they came to debate. And now all of them, especially this Abdul Harith was their priest, was the most knowledgeable in the whole Christian world. For what did they come? To prove that Christianity is right. And according to them, Islam is not right. That's a whole detail in all that. What I want to show, they were convinced Christianity is right. But an ordinary person, even a Christian who uses his mind a little bit, any Muslim will know, they followed 100% opposite of what Isa alayhi salam taught. Isa alayhi salam never told them, worship me. He never said, I am God, or my mother is God. Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Oh, Isa, did you tell the people they must worship you and your mother as gods besides Allah? Subhanak. Oh Allah, where could I have said that? Now, I never ever said that. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي You know what is in my heart. Not only what I said, Allah Ta'ala is that being. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَمَا يَخْفَى Allah Ta'ala knows all the secrets and what is more than secrets, يَخْفَى That also Allah knows in Surah A'la. And Surah Taha, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَمَا أَخْفَى Allah Ta'ala knows the secret and not only what is yakhfa, but what is akhfa. What is even much more hidden than hidden. Yakhfa, what is hidden. Allah knows the secrets, which secrets are hidden. And Allah knows yakhfa, what is hidden. And what is more than hidden, akhfa. Isme tabzeel. All that Allah Ta'ala knows also. So Allah Ta'ala knows, and so Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam. So anyway, the Christians, even today, and they are very pious Christians according to them. And very learned Christians. They're priests also. But all of them, what is it? 100% diametrically opposed to what Isa alayhi salam taught. Nothing. He did not teach them ruhbaniyat, to become monks and nuns and go in monasteries. It was not for them. It was not made faras upon them. That was not in their religion. There was nothing like worshipping Isa alayhi salam, that he is God or his mother. Nothing that he is the son of God or that he is God. Nothing like the Trinity. But that is what the whole Christian religion, what they are fighting to uphold. So we all can understand that is not Christianity. And that is what we say, they have moved away, they have changed their books also. The thing is, and all this Allah has put in the Quran Sharif. Are the Christians going to, is the Quran Sharif for the Christians to read? The Quran Sharif is for us, that we take the lesson. That we don't follow a religion of Islam, which is not the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today with all this modernism, and all this new ideologies, if we are following that, and we give vent to all that, and we promote all this, from our members, we encourage all those like ulama who will come on YouTube and will come on TV. Those ulama who sit openly with women on TV panel, on TV shows, with a panel with women and talking with one another. And not only talking, eyes meeting also. Can be the biggest mufti and a journalist interviewing him. And who will they choose the generous? A young girl. Hey, and she has, they are talking, the biggest mufti, and the eyes are meeting and they are talking, all that, and we promoting, or we supporting, or we got a soft spot for them, or we encourage all those things. This is not the Islam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we follow that Islam of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, we side with those people, the ulama of haq, who want to move in that direction, then we will get salvation and we'll find Allah. Otherwise, take the lesson of the Christians. The Jews today, they are very particular on their religion. For example, there are so many abattoirs where stunning, normally by law it is required stunning. If you don't want to stun your animals, you need an exemption from the court. So, and they get it. And their animals, animals which are slaughtered in abattoirs, no stunning. And the paradox and the irony of the whole thing, after that, for Muslims, when they slaughter now, after they wash that whole abattoir and cleanse it, now stunning starts. For the Muslims, it's stunning. Muslims don't ask for a non-stun. Muslims just accept the Jews as they are. But, so they are so particular of that. When you go to Jerusalem, Baitul Muqaddas, go and see at the wailing wall, how they are shaking and wailing and crying, how much they are doing. Go and see the Shias, that how they are crying at Rozai Mubarak outside, or outside Jannatul Baqi, how they are crying. But all that in vain. They are on wrong. Hey? So, and according to them, we are very strong Shias, and we are following our religion, which religion of Islam, but totally against it. The same with the Christians, the same with the Jews. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said very clearly, the Jews will be divided into 71 sects, the Christians 72, my Ummah 73, and all will be finnar, in the fire of Jahannam. Only one group will be saved. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was asked, who will that be? Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That deen which is of Nabi Ali, which we call today orthodox, which we call today camel age, which we call today stone age, and the camel age, all that. We can pass all our remarks in the qabr, we will see. If our eyes don't open, لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. It's not the eyes that have become blind, the hearts have become blind. The hearts are not seeing the truth. So we have to see where we align ourselves with and who we distance ourselves. And absolutely important to distance ourselves from all the wrong and to align ourselves with all the right. Otherwise, one very big alim, what was his name? In the time of Hazrat Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. Anyway, so he used to mix with the Shias and with the atheists. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah should warn him, Rawindi, name something like that. Don't mix with these people. He said, no, I just want to know what their beliefs are, and I just talk with them, and just like casual and that. Till finally, he became a murtad. A very big alim, he became murtad also. So when we mix with these people, and we associate with them, the consequences can be very grave in the grave. When we'll go to the grave, consequences will be very grave. Allah Ta'ala guide us and let us understand our deen properly. And this whole beautiful, even our timetable of our calendar of the year, for example, from Rajab, and then Shaban, and then Ramadan, then Shawwal, and then Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah, where we reach what Allah has given us. And on the other hand, if we choose another part of our nafs, to make the people happy, that you see what the people will say. And we don't worry what Allah will say. We are worried what the people will say, and what the comments the people are making, how much they are criticizing, and we don't worry what is happening by Allah Ta'ala. We are worried of keeping the peace, and keeping harmony, and peace, and unity, and respecting the other view. Hey, today that's also a major thing. Respect the other view. If somebody comes to you, you're a man, you know he's a man, whole life, and he says, I'm a woman. Hey, send him to the laboratories to have checked out. Report will come, he's a man. But now you say, respect his view. I know you're a woman, you're a man, but you say you're a woman, I respect your view. How can you respect that view? Today, how many, it's now night. Lights are on, everything, we can see one another. So somebody says it's day. So you say, it is night. I believe, my conviction is night. But I respect your view, according to you, it's day. How can we accept that? So with the people, with the total, and within the limit, and this also, the Sharia allows you respect the view of other people. And 100% we all accept. At one time, in the madrasa at Darulum in Azadwar, we have the students to make imamat. And for various reasons, one of the reasons is that if they make any mistakes or that we can better them in the imamat, then we tell them, then for life they will be on the better path, on the correct path. Like many students, many of us, when we get up from ruku, our kurta, the two ends, we pull it with both hands down. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali on one safar of his, he was very emphatic of this, and he said that namaz breaks according to that. And he had the fatwa asked from certain Darul Ulooms, and Darul Ulooms gave the fatwa, if you use both your hands, then your namaz breaks. Now if the Imam's namaz is broken, then everyone's namaz is broken. So all these little details which come, so we try and tell them. So one person, one of the students, he said, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. After namaz I called him, I said, Sana, Subhanakallahumma, A'udhu Tasmiya. He said, I'm a Maliki, and according to Maliki Madhab, it is not at all permissible to read anything. And we read namaz behind him, no problem. So we accept differences which are according to the, within the limits of Sharia. But if he has to come and tell me that I'm a woman, and for women it's permissible to read like that, how can we say that I respect your view, that you say you're a woman, or that you are making your namaz as you want to, completely different with some other things that we can't respect within the limit. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and correct ourselves. And the qabr's life is not an easy life. And perhaps when we hear about it, we think it's not going to happen to me. Like all other things also. We are warned about so many things that, no, it won't happen to me, it happens to others. But when it hits us, and qabr, yeah, perhaps, you don't take your precautions of closing your windows when you're at intersections, etc. Perhaps you never get mugged or robbed. But the qabr, there is nobody who's going to escape it. Everyone is going to go. Pul sirat, everyone. Nobody will be exempted from it. All of us will go. And what will be our condition? And who gave us our guarantee that we're going to be saved there? And to check ourselves, not what the people are saying. Not what people, those ulama who are influenced by the government and want to please the government. Not by those people who want to please the scientists and those who follow the media. One of the worst company that people have got today is the media. Hey, we don't buy newspapers perhaps anymore, but it's on the phone. And we have to read those people who regard themselves as very advanced. And we can't have our breakfast until we haven't read the editorial. And who's written the editorial? A kafir. And we get influenced by that. And our thinking, we make it like that. With the COVID, all what they had vomited out, the protocols, we accepted it like sweet honey. And we enforced it more than what they have forced it also. And now at the end, all of them have admitted that it was all wrong. It was all lies. And we don't make tawbah of it. We still accept it. And we are not still even conscious that we followed in all the wrong things. May Allah guide us to righteousness. Let us understand and follow the true deen of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. An-Najat, inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. The only deen by Allah Ta'ala which will be accepted is al-Islam. And not only the title of Islam, and you put inside all modern things.
That also won't be. It must be the deen of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. If they bring iman as the sahaba brought iman, then they are on hidayah. And if it is our own vision, today some 20-30 vision a person has. Person got this vision and he got that vision. All that visions will be totally rejected. All of that. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ. All new things that will become. كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ كُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The muhdith, the person who makes this new things, and the muhdath, the new thing he made, all of that in the fire of Jahannam. So we must see, be very careful. It's a very serious matter. I'm worried about myself. For a small toothache, I'm worried. Earache is a big problem. But the qabr, the fire in the fire and the adab in the qabr, in Fadail al-Sadaqat, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, the punishment for being stingy. So stingy that you don't pay your zakat also. What Allah gave you, you're not prepared to give 2.5%. Not 97.5. Only 2.5%. The reality of the matter is that which stayed with you for one whole year, four seasons passed, all conditions passed and you didn't need it. So you should give all of that away. You don't need it. But Allah said, in that also, and all of that Allah, only 2.5%. But that also you don't want to give. So those people who are stingy to that extent, the punishment in the qabr, there will be scorpions in the qabr. And those people who do things for name and fame, and how we get caught in that also, we are thinking in our khushfahmi, in what I would like to think of myself, that I'm a very sincere person. But in there, for that punishment for name and fame, big snakes will be in the qabr. And the snakes, one riwayat, 70 snakes. And this poison of one snake, one drop of its poison, has to come in this world, not a blade of grass will grow in the world again. So how poisonous, and they will be your company in the qabr. If just a fly of this dunya is a company, which buzzes around your ears all the time, buzzes around your nose all the time, one mosquito of this dunya, we know the mosquito bite is not pleasant at all. We don't like it. It stays about half an hour, the sensation, if you don't put anything on, and then it goes away. But there the scorpions and the snakes, and forever, and the fire in the qabr, and everyone for himself. Nobody will be with us there. So we have to be very concerned of our deen, and that we are on the right side. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.